Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. I hope everybody is well and blessed, doing the best they can in the current situation. Like I always say, hold on, hang on, because change is coming. Change is coming. It's inevitable. This change I speak of cannot be stopped by man. It can be aided by man, but the ultimate judge, our Father who art in heaven, has put these things in motion that will bring forth the change and the peace everlasting in this earth as we evolve as a human being, as human beings, a human race, and the evolution of our intellect to cohabitate this planet will be met. It is written. We are in such a, you know, state that we are in right now, as you know, in a disarray. For lack of intelligence, you can certainly look at that and just dissect that and research that for yourself. But this is why we are in the condition and the state that we are in right now, is because of the lack of intellect or intelligence. Once we obtain the knowledge and the intellect of our being and represent a civil human race as intellectuals would and do, then of course we will be, this planet will be a much better place. But until we can get past, you know, the people like Donald Trump and his, you know, hateful and divided rhetoric, we will continue to, there will be a group of people that continue to go down this path of disarray and discontentment. The name of this broadcast is Trump's Fourth Round TKO. That was 4 days of the Democratic National Convention. They knocked Mr. Trump flat out in these 4 days. From the First Lady, the current First Lady, Mrs. Michelle Obama, all the way to the towards the end of the conference with Mr. Khizr Khan. And then the next president of this United States, Mrs. Hillary Clinton, giving her acceptance speech and rallying the troops. I mean, this is the way forward, folks. I mean, just look at the demographic of the conventions. One is clearly a depiction of America, and one is clearly not. And who and what is going to lead this great nation of diversity. It has been the one that has that does not give the true depiction of the United States for so many years, but now because of intelligence, and people and a people waking up to find out their true purpose in this life and why we are here. You know, you will see a change and a consistent change, a consistent willing of the people to keep things, you know, put things in the right track and keep them there. It's been an amazing week. I can just safely and assuredly say that. Let me just start off by, I don't know, let me see here. I'm going to have to make some adjustments on my system here because, let's see here. I want to look up a word here. I want to look up a word here and see what we're working with here on my computer. It never amazes me. I mean, I don't know if this is just me or if this is actually something to all of this, but it seems like when I'm looking for something, you know, to aid people or to validate my argument, you know, it's hard. It seems like slow or hard to come by. Let's see here. I'm looking up the word treason. It's the word I'm looking up. Because I'd heard this word used to describe Donald Trump's asking the Russians to find Hillary Clinton's other 30,000 emails and if this was treasonous or not. And the term treason means the offense of acting to overthrow one's government. He wasn't trying to do that, even though I think he's trying to overthrow a political party to harm or kill its sovereignty. And certainly that's not going to happen in this great nation. Or a violation of allegiance to one sovereign or to one state. A violation of allegiance to one sovereign or one state. I'll give him a pass on that one simply because he's not trying to divide, you know, well, the Republicans are divided so many ways it doesn't even, you know, worth talking about. A betrayal of one's trust or confidence, breach of faith or treachery. Now, I could go with that one. The betrayal of a trust or confidence, because he lost mine. He lost my trust. He lost my confidence. When you're asking another nation, especially a nation like Russia, to find the other 30,000 missing emails from Mrs. Clinton, this is maybe where that they are talking about because they certainly have done this. He's certainly done this in this particular way. For him to ask another nation, even such, and now you've got to understand that Russia and America are a lot closer than what we, you know, what they tell us, you know, in the media. There was no coincidence for Russia to change their flag and to change their colors of the flag to red, white, and blue. They had all the different colors of the color palette to choose, and their flag, I believe, used to be red with the Russian sickle, with the sickle and hammer and sickle. I believe that's what it was when they were in the former Russian regime. But I believe that they have moved more to a democratic way of being, and their closer allegiance, you know, to the United States is, you know, as they led on. I mean, even given the fact that Donald Trump's number two guy, Paul Manafort, you know, which is a guy that's he's becoming a more of a bad taste in my mouth every time that I watch this guy. He's just really losing it with the true American people, the diversity of America. He's just way out so far out of touch. It's unbelievable. And I'm glad that people are starting to wake up and starting, you know, not to allow the media just to, you know, feed them all this nonsense and, you know, they bite it hook, line, and sinker. Now, there are a group of people in America. There's a lot of people like the would-be Trump followers and things of that nature. Again, looking at that demographic there, that do buy what the media pumps out here, hook, line, and sinker. And the media, so you know, like I say, is so skillful at doing it in such a way that it actually and literally, you know, brainwashes those of a weaker mind compose, you know what they're comprised of. It takes a very weak mind to buy into all of this stuff. You know, I'm just gonna lay it out like it is. Anybody that has a strong, you know, fortitude of themselves and can do just a little bit of research will come to find that, you know, this is nonsense. And in years before and years prior, you know, they used to get away with this stuff. I mean, just, you know, straight up. They used to just get away with it. It's kind of mind blowing. That within itself is kind of mind blowing, but it is what it is. You know, but now, thank God, you know, to, you know, voices such as mine and other like voices and media such as the Blog Talk Radio and other forms of free speech, people are starting to be brought to the knowledge and to the clarity, you know, of the nonsense. And we're not buying into it. We're just certainly not buying into it. I am a part of the American people. I don't know who they're talking to. Well, yeah, I do. I do know who they're talking to. When, you know, the Republicans and the one-sided people, you know, talk about, you know, America such as, you know, the American people such as, I can't think of her name right now, but she's a blonde, you know, there's a couple of blonde-haired chicks that are ladies that that Donald Trump has out there, you know, oh, and I'll think of her name in just a minute, but I can't, what's her name? I can't, it just slips my mind right now, and I'm not going to focus on that. But anyhow, I think Neil Hughes or something like that, but anyhow, they are so blindsided, they are so one-sided in their way of thinking that they can't even decipher the truth or they can't even look at things realistically. It's such a crazy slant, you know, that they have, and they put on Patty Nils Hughes, I think that's her name. What, let's see if I can look her up right quick. Let's see here. Let's see here. I'm not gonna worry about it. I can't seem to pull it off right now. But anyhow, you know, you guys that are, you know, familiar with politics know who I'm talking about. But anyhow, but you know, with Mr. Trump asking the Russians now, folks, if you can read body language in any way, you know, form or fashion, and just look at the timing of what Mr. Trump said, and then try to retract. He was serious about asking the Russians to look for these 30,000 emails, folks. Now, the crazy part about it is, you know, that they've made such a big deal about these 30,000 emails, but and all the emails that Mrs. Clinton turned over, there were some personal emails, you know, included in that grouping of emails that were, you know, that they are talking about with the email server and things of that nature. So for her to scrub those 30,000 personal emails is probably what they are. I mean, I have, you know, that many or more in one email account. I have several email accounts, but 30,000 emails or more is very, you know, it's not a very large number given the magnitude of who she is. But she did have some personal emails in those grouping of emails, which she should have extracted and she should have scrubbed. And she should have deleted and done away with, simply because it's not public, you know, it shouldn't be public knowledge of her personal emails. I don't want anybody to know my personal, you know, things and emails and stuff like that, you know. There's not a whole lot of stuff in them, but they're personal. At the same time, they're just personal in their mind, and I don't want anybody in there. So anybody, you know, with a conscious mind can understand, you know, that she would want to, you know, scrub those emails and keep, you know, her and Bill and Chelsea's and all everybody's, you know, personal information out of the public eye. I have no problem with that, and I do trust her. Today is July the 31st. This is the last day of July, by the way, of the year 2016. I just want to put that out there. But they've created this thing of mistrust or distrust for Hillary Clinton, and the media has done it, and I'd be doggone if Alex Castellanos didn't come on today I mean, it's just so lame. It's so such a lame brain argument anymore that they jump back on this, you know, Benghazi incident as if it was, you know, Hillary Clinton's fault that it took place. It was not her fault. You know, that's the whole thing. And people, you know, buy into this nonsense hook, line, and sinker again. And if you do the research, you know, take the time to do the research, you'll find the condition and the state of the consulate, you know, prior to the attack. You know, we just liberated Benghazi. We just liberated, you know, Libya, you know, from Muammar Gaddafi. And so the Americans were not, you know, being attacked or hated at that particular point in time. It was a love fest going on over there at that particular point in time. I find it interesting that the documentation, and I wish to God, and you heard me say this before, and I hate to be redundant, but I wish to God I would have, you know, retained those and copied those documents directly from Chris Stevens, giving, you know, telling the state of the condition of the consulate and the state of the environment over there, you know, days prior to the attack. You know, there was no reason for concern, or there wasn't asking for, you know, security and things of that nature. Now, by the time they caught wind maybe of an uprising or an attack on the consulate, you know, that they put out, you know, requests for security. But at that particular point in time, it was too late. It was way too late. I mean, they couldn't respond in enough time. And again, look at the movie 13 Hours. This is going to be the closest thing that we get to a depiction of the environment or the actions of the environment of Benghazi at that particular point in time. You know, we're not going to get a film clip. I don't think that, you know, that the State Department or, you know, the CIA or anyone on that level is going to give us, you know, any direct, you know, footage or anything of the consulate prior to the attack, because if they do, they'll see a very calm and warm condition. And, you know, go along, by and by, you know, from the Libyan people, you know, to the Americans, again, as liberators. You know, they want to change. They want to live like, you know, the Western world in freedom. You know, they want McDonald's and they want, you know, Burger King and Walmarts and Costco's and, you know, everyone with, you know, nice housing and toilets and flushing toilets and running water and all these different things that, you know, the Western world can certainly bring, you know, to the rest of the world for that matter. And that's what's taking place, folks. As a matter of fact, this is why, you know, the wealthy 1% are making moves in which they are at this particular point in time, because they are simply repositioning their wealth. But I'm getting off track here a little bit. So let me get back to these 30,000 emails. So, anyhow, he wasn't joking about that, you know, and I want the American people, the true American people, to be told to look at the body gesture, body language, look at the timing of his attempt to retract, you know, those statements and saying that it was just in jest and just in humor, and he was just joking. That's a bold-faced lie. That's another bold-faced lie. You know, there's no way in the world he meant every character, you know, because that's what his character is about, you know, coincidentally speaking, and there was no pun intended, but he meant every character of what he said in terms of Russia following, you know, trying to help, you know, find and recover those 30,000 emails. Even we had Julian Assange come on, I think it was on Fox News today. And it might have been another political shows. It maybe was on Meet the Press or something. But anyhow, you can go back and look at it. Look at both of them. It's good information. But Julian Assange came on there and tried to justify the WikiLeaks, you know, hack, you know, on the DNC email server. And again, with the effort and the attempt to drive a wedge in between the Democratic Party, which is so sound and solid and so strong together, that the Republicans are actually fearful, you know, of such unity, of such a unified front, you know, such a unified grouping of people. When you look at Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, there is no way in God's earth Donald Trump to withstand this power, this force? There's no way. There is absolutely no way. Now, again, the media will publicize and politicize this thing and keep the polls close and all this other kind of. It was kind of funny because they talked about the Rasmussen poll the other day. I'm a poll chaser, folks, and I strongly suggest that all the listening audience and the ears of influence know that we're looking at the polls that you're talking about. Know that we are actually wanting to know the demographics of the polls, where they're sampled. We want to know where they're sampled. We want to know the makeup, the demographic, you know, blacks, whites, browns, Asians, Muslims, you know, all the people that, you know, you have polled to create this poll. We want to see the breakdown of the poll, because if not, the poll is irrelevant. The poll has absolutely no relevance if a true clip, or a true depiction of the American people, you know, are involved in the creation of those polls. They mean nothing. You know, as a matter of fact, they are misleading. They are untrue. And for the media to project or promote those polls without showing a substantiated demographic, you know, of those polls, is promoting an untruth, an inaccuracy. So then how valid is your broadcast? How valid is your reporting, you know, your media, your news, as it pertains to what's being translated and disseminated to the true American people? Think about that now, media folks, you know, ears of influence. Think about that. This is what's happening. People are starting to wake up to the compilation of those polls. How are they compiled? Who's involved in voting? Where are you sampling from? Rasmussen, how many people, how many African Americans, how many Hispanic Americans, how many Muslim Americans, you know, how many Asian Americans, how many Latino, how many, you know, how many folks, you know, really look at our poll on the Rasmussen poll? Go to the Rasmussen collection, poll sampling or collection, and cast a vote. There aren't many. So that poll is irrelevant. It's worthless. And the race, as far as Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton is concerned, and if Hillary doesn't get a astronomical bump out of that, out of the DNC with Mr. Khan's givens and testimony, Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, you know, you have Joe Biden, you have Tim Kaine, you know, all of these powerful and vocal speakers, you know, bringing tears to hundreds of thousands of people, you know, even millions of people. I'm sure when Mr. Khan got up there and gave his, you know, his testimony, his speech, and pulled that Constitution out of his pocket and held it up, I happen to be amongst a bunch of people that, you know, a very diverse, you know, grouping of people, and it brought tears to my eyes. There was a whole group full of tearful people, you know, because it was so real and such an impact. You know, Donald Trump has never read the American Constitution. I would be almost willing to bet that or to wager that. I think he was talking about one time that there was some 12 articles or something in the Constitution. I don't have to go back and research that. But that just tells you right there, he never read the Constitution. You see? Because he's off right there. So it's an amazing thing. I want to also, there's something I'm not going to say it right now, but on my next broadcast, I'm going to validate it. And if I validate this right here, it's going to give you a clear picture of Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump. It's going to tell you exactly, what he stands for, who he is, and what his objective is to this great nation. You know, he's talking about, you know, make this America great again. What does that really mean? Does he want to take it back to whereabouts, you know, that group of people that's in his audience? as a depiction of the people of leaders and oppressors, you know, in this great nation, had their upper hand, you know, in the nation. Does he want to take it back to that particular, you know, way of being or way of existence? You know, there's an angry group of white middle class, you know, men that are, you know, behind the Second Amendment, you know, the right to bear arms and freedom of speech and all this other kind of stuff. I'm with that. You know what I'm saying? I exercise my Second Amendment very, very well. And overabundant, and I'm not really going to get to the weeds of that, but I'm not going to say nothing too heavy on that because, you know, it could be pretty powerful, and I'm not going to go there right now. So anyhow, but yeah, now. The white blue collar, they say uneducated male, is the one that Donald Trump has in his arsenal or in his quiver, and he does. He really, really does. But you know, if they really could understand the truth as to why they're in that condition, you know, you got to understand that I'm an African American person. Okay. Haven't been given anything of an advantage or handout or hand up in life. My mother had to force me to go down there, you know, a long time ago when I got laid off from a job. I've been laid off like maybe two times in my life. Didn't understand the whole process. And she's like, well, why don't you go down there and draw your unemployment? You know, and I'm like, I'm not going down there and drawing no unemployment. Why am I going down there and stand in that line? That's embarrassing and stuff like that. She said, what? My mother said, what? She's like, you dummy. And she taught me that. She said that you earn that money. You earn those quarters. You earn, you know, of all these years that you've worked, you know, you could go down there, go draw your unemployment. It's not like welfare. It's not like standing in the welfare line, you know, to draw, you know, assistance. You know, and she had to say it to me, and she spent, you know, a good half an hour, you know, convincing me to go down there to collect my own money, you see. And, yes, I've given, you know, 30-some years. I'm not going to really try to date myself, but I've worked for over 30-some years of my life already, and I'm not that old of a guy, you see. And I'm talking W-2 work. I'm not talking about, you know, type of work that you can't claim. I'm talking about W-2 work, and you know, I raised two daughters on my own. I didn't bear them, but I did raise them from a very early and young age, both of them. And my oldest daughter, she's a med student. She'll be completing. Now, so they got 90 seconds to love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants to do. Why? Simply because God is love. And I'm gonna go on talking. Let me have a little bit more time. But anyhow, my oldest daughter is a med student. She'll be finishing medical school, this time next year. She goes on her different, you know, placements, you know, throughout the country. And they can even travel around the world to find where they want to give their medical service. I think that I have something suggested to her to go into the armed forces, which I think that's what she's going to do. As a form of repayment to this government and great nation for allowing her the opportunity to obtain such a position and a certification in life. My youngest daughter, she's 17 years old. This is her second year in college. She is pursuing her MBA. Looking forward to giving back to the community services. For giving her the opportunity, for giving her. My point is here, folks, there ain't no excuses. You know, folks want to, you know, this middle class, you know, people, or this group of people want to cry and complain and moan and groan about not being given a fair chance, their voices not being heard and all this other kind of stuff in America. If ain't nobody had a fair shot of voice being heard, it's people like me. Have I sat around and complained and moaned and all this other kind of stuff? You know, or have I, you know, worked hard such as the president of this United States, a black man, a man of color, an African, true African American, you know, and like I said, if anybody has an unfair advantage, it would be those people that are crying, groping, and complaining, and grumbling and moaning about, you know, not being given a fair shot, a fair shake, and somebody coming to take their jobs and all this other kind of stuff. Folks, you know, them the very ones that bought, you know, brought people over here because they, you know, as cheap labor. If you remember correctly, back in the early 90s, late 80s and early 90s, you know, there was just an influx of people, you know, bringing folks, you know, they couldn't get them over here fast enough, plane, train, automobile, however, you know, getting cheap labor over here, you know, Hispanic labor over here to do the things and replace jobs of Americans, you know, they couldn't get them over here fast enough. How you think they got here? That's how they got here, folks. Now that they're here and they're voting, you know, and they're productive members of society and all these other type of things, yeah, they're you know, I can remember clearly. I used to be able to get up and go find a nighttime job, you know, in my area, you know, just whenever at a whim, when I wanted to. It wasn't no problem. You know, but now because of, you know, Hispanic labor and people willing to work, you know, those jobs are not readily available. They're scarce and hard to come by. You know, I understand it. I get it. But again, it's not an excuse. I mean, you know, what happened to hard work? What happened to, you know, cutting your own grain, cutting your own, hoeing your own, you know, field, your own, you know, and harvesting your own seeds, you know, to create your own harvest? You know, what happened to all of that, you see? And like I said, if I can do it, being a person of, you know, a man of disadvantage, you know, with two daughters and things of that nature, that's going to come out on top, you know, of the earning in society. Anybody can do it. You know, I don't come up with excuses and complain and moan and stuff. No, I don't like working the jobs that I do. You know, I work hard, you know, every day. No, I don't like it, you know, but I have to do it. I do it, you know, and I have not missed a day of meeting my responsibilities for the last, you know, 5 years, and that's on a W-2, you know, track, you know, not missed a day. By the grace of God, my health is good, my faculties are good, you know, and the opportunity that I have right now is good, you know, but I don't particularly care for it. You know, but I do it and I embrace it every day, and I have been for the last 5 years without missing a beat. So there's no excuse. You know, they. You know, I don't know what position they want to make America great again, but you know, other than, you know, the oppressive, you know, position that, you know, the history has had, you know, in the day of you know, oppression, but that's not going to happen. You can forget that mindset and that ideology, that way of thinking. There's too much of, you know, everybody got too much of everything right now for that to happen. So you can forget that. And, you know, the government's not going to stand by anyhow and allow that to happen. I already told you about, you know, drone activity and all the weapons and all the bullets and stuff that they've, you know, have stockpiled. They have a stockpile for a reason. And for a purpose and a people, it's those who rise up against the government, not those that work and walk along with the government. So anyhow, let's see here. Oh yeah, now let's jump to this infrastructure thing, because I heard Ms. Clinton talk about the infrastructure bank today, and Barack Obama, this is his brainchild. Now, you know, they complain about, you know, people taking the jobs and all that kind of stuff. Do you realize if they would, you know, put money into the infrastructure bank and implement the concept of the infrastructure bank, that the economy would blow the lid off of the economy in terms of jobs? The Congress, American Congress, now you go back and look at this for yourself, has stifled and stopped, you know, anything pertaining to the infrastructure bank and its rewards, economic rewards, have been stopped by the Congress, you know, and the Republican Party, the Republican people, because they do not want to see an African American, Mr. Obama, you know, succeed overwhelmingly by implementation of such a product or a program. What this would do would pump millions and millions and gazillions of dollars, you know, into the infrastructure upgrades of this great nation. We need them severely. Look at our roads and look at our sewer systems. Look at our technology infrastructures and all of these different things where, you know, literally millions of jobs would be created, not tens of hundreds of thousands, but millions of jobs would be created in every sector, you know, in this infrastructure bank program. I think Mrs. Clinton is going to be given an opportunity to bring this, you know, forward. Mr. Obama will get the credit for it because it is his brainchild and implemented under his administration, or introduced, I should say, under his administration. And it may be implemented under Hillary Clinton's. But we're going to take back the House. We're going to take back the Senate. Mr. Obama is going to start, you know, having a heavy campaign on midterm elections. When you control the midterm elections and you control the House and the Senate and the president, and, you know, it will be a step towards the one world order or one world government, which is inevitable. And it is how we will have and move toward world peace, because along with that one world order and one world government becomes an enlightenment of an elevation of intelligence or intellect. And that, you know, like I said, the old today, you know, principle will be put forward, and that's one God, one people, and one way of life, and that one way is righteousness for all mankind. That's what one world order is all about. That's what one world government is all about. Governance is all about. Let me say, governance is all about one God, one people, and one way of life. And we're going to get there, folks, because it's already written. So anyhow, the infrastructure bank, listen to that, you know, that's big, that's huge. Unfortunately, I think that the majority, a lot of the 1%, one percenters have moved their wealth, you know, offshores to the emerging markets. And, you know, it is what it is because, you know, wealth is loyal to wealth. Let's see. The attack on Mr. Khan, you know, Donald Trump says Mr. Khan attacked him. Boy, I mean, you know, he did give him a smackdown. Now, when he pulled that Constitution out of his pocket, that was a smackdown. You know, Donald Trump called it an attack. No, that wasn't an attack. He told the truth. You know, and Donald can't handle the truth. You know, that's and you know, he's just not, like you say, when Hillary says that he's unfit, folks, that means he's unstable, mentally unstable. Donald Trump is clinically and mentally unstable, clinically, mental clinically unstable to run this nation. And that's what she means by that, and it is the truth. You can look at the guy, tell by his demeanor and what he says and how he responds and reacts, and that's just how it is. And, folks, if he becomes president of the United States, it is going to be attack after attack after attack, you know, from the jihadists and people that, you know, that oppose, you know, the hateful and the racist people like Donald Trump. It will be, you know, relentless. You know, they believe in the last, you know, fighting until the last man, woman, and child. And we certainly don't want that, you know, in this great nation here and ever. You know, so this is why I sided, you know, with Ms. Clinton. I'm with her, and I suggest, you know, that all people that want, you know, peace, calm, stability, and a good way going forward to line up the same. So anyhow, and share this with your congregation. Share this with the, you know, people that you come in contact with. You know, ears of influence. You know, take this and run with it, because this is real. And you know, there's some people that really truly know what's going on in front and behind the scenes. So anyhow, this is my broadcast for today. Love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Take care for now until the next broadcast. So long, and we'll see you.